Last week, Florida State University indefinitely suspended all fraternities and sororities. This action was taken days after the death of a fraternity pledge who had attended a party. Earlier this year, at Penn State University, a 19-year-old died after a night of drinking, which was part of a fraternity pledge event. The university suspended the fraternity until the end of the fall 2018 semester. In light of these and other incidents, what can be done to combat hazing? We're posing the question to Elizabeth Allen. She's professor of higher education at the University of Maine. She's also the executive director of StopHazing.org, a resource for hazing research and prevention. Elizabeth, can you start by defining hazing?
So hazing is any activity expected of someone joining or participating in a group that humiliates, degrades, abuses, or endangers them, regardless of their willingness to participate.
And what are you finding when it comes to schools and hazing prevention?
So over the years, we have done some research related to, you know, student experiences with hazing, and we found that hazing is happening in both high schools and colleges, and students tell us that they experience behaviors that would meet the definition of hazing in many different types of groups. So it's often thought that hazing is simply a problem of fraternities or sometimes athletic teams, but we've also found that hazing is occurring in performing arts groups, marching bands, for example, as well as honor societies and other kinds of clubs and organizations, even intramural sports.
Your website says that 3 in 5 college students are subjected to hazing, and so you just mentioned a whole slew of different clubs and organizations, so this really goes beyond Greek life.
Yes, that's right. Overall, about 55% of students who belong to some kind of club, organization, or team reported that they had experienced behavior that would meet the definition of hazing. And when we asked about their high school experiences, they reported roughly 47%, but another national study had found 48%. So, you know, we're seeing some fairly high numbers of students who are, you know, familiar with the experience of hazing, but they might not necessarily call it that. Because the other thing our study found was that when we used the term hazing and we asked students directly, so have you experienced hazing? Only about 1 in 10, approximately, or 2 in 10 will say yes. That experience was definitely hazing. So there's a major disconnect in between what students experience and their willingness to label it as hazing.
In light of all of these tragic hazing incidents, why do you think students still join Greek organizations?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it's really important first to recognize that, you know, belonging to a group is, you know, part of human nature. We all want to be a part of something and have that kind of community. I think these kinds of groups are very attractive to students on college campuses because they do provide that, you know, sense of friendship. They can provide that bond and sense of community. And, you know, at the core of what these organizations stand for, you know, there's a lot of good things. And I have met in my work and my research many students who have been, careful consumers. You know, they've heard about some of the problems associated with these organizations. And, for example, they've asked in the process of sort of the process of checking out these organizations, you know, so I've heard that hazing, you know, it can be a problem in Greek organizations. Do you have hazing? And typically, the answer is absolutely not. No, we don't do that. And, you know, I've heard that from many students. So, and then when they get into the process and they've invested in time and energy, the hazing happens. Not always, but when it does, it really takes them by surprise because it's not in keeping with what they were told from the outset.
Do you think schools are acting appropriately in responding when we hear fraternities being suspended? Is that good enough?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's really important that there is a strong message around hazing, that campus leaders from university presidents all the way through the system to student leaders on campus all need to send a strong message that this is not acceptable. At the same time, we have to do more. You know, we have to take a more comprehensive approach. And so we need to look at, you know, not only the specific organizations and holding them accountable. Well, that's very important. At the same time, we need to be proactive in preventing the behavior, which, as I mentioned, the research shows that it's more widespread than fraternities and sororities and athletic teams, where we typically think about hazing. So this is why we really advocate for an approach that includes all students. It includes all members of the campus community gaining a greater understanding of what hazing is, when behavior might cross the line into hazing, and what they can do about it if they suspect hazing is happening, and the ways in which they can intervene as bystanders.
That was Elizabeth Allen, Professor of Higher Education at the University of Maine.